Our Father and our God, Lord, I thank you for the blessings you give to this church. Father, help us to grow stronger in our faith. Help us to love you with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. 청소, right?
칭조.
칭조. Now let's look at James, the New Testament book that was written as a letter. Written by an author who was obviously named James. Some believe it was to be James, the brother of Christ. Others believe James, the son of Zebedee, one of the disciples. Others believe the writer of the gospel, John. But honestly, we cannot be completely certain.
我们最近看一看这个雅各书是新约里边的一封信，是有一个不太有名的人写的，当然这个人的名字叫做雅各，有人以为是这个耶稣的弟弟，有人以为是西庇太的儿子，是约翰的弟兄，哥哥，有人，但是不，但是我们都不是很明确。
Matthew Henry, a theologian, contends that it's written by James, the son of Alphaeus, who was cousin germain, which means first cousin, to Christ, and one of the 12 apostles.
马太亨利马太坚决地主张说这是那个有一个叫雅各的人，他是阿哥斯的那个儿子，是耶稣的表兄弟，也是这个十二使徒当中的一个。
Whoever wrote it, this epistle cannot be disputed without loosening the foundation stone of Christianity, because it contains essential doctrine that is about teaching all Christians, and it's something that we all should hear and know.
不管是谁写的，但是这封信不能够忽略，如果你要忽略的话，就会失去基督信仰的一块非常重要的基石。 因为他教导了很多的基本的教育和教导，使得每一个基督徒都应该知道，都应该去行的。
First James was written for Christians in general, not to any one specific church. It was probably written towards the end of the first century, and its primary point has the writer describing the practical things that a Christian must do.
首先那个雅各是写给 这是基督徒的，不是写给一个特别的教会，可能是在第一世纪的最末后写成的。那么它是主要是讲述一些基督徒应该做的一些具体的事情。
I'm going to read for you James 1:1. This isn't up on the screen. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. No problem.
雅各书第一章第一节说，做神和主耶稣基督仆人的雅各，请暂住在十二个支派之人的安。
In this opening line, James is described as a servant, or in some translations, a bondservant. But if we look at the original Greek word, doulos, which literally means a slave. Someone who is subservient or subject to a master.
当我们看这个第一句话的时候，那个雅各就把它自己写成仆人，或者是一个赐予的奴仆。这句话的原来的一个来自一个希腊字叫doulos，这个字，doulos这个字就是意思就是奴隶的意思，也就是说是奉承别人或者是隶属别人的一个人。
Thank you. Here, give that to her. Before I go on, I need to apologize to Mary and Fonwe. I brought my mother home this week, and my schedule was a wreck, so they got this way later than I would have hoped. So all the mistakes are on my shoulders.
那个最后这个讲稿给的比较晚，所以可能会造成一些错误。
As we used in the term As used in the term bond servant, the word bond means man, and it means slave. Simply put, it's a man who's a slave or a man who serves, follows his master, and does whatever the master tells him or her to do.
原来这个bond slave 这个bond servant 这个就是契约奴仆这个字的意思就是说 bond 就是表示人那个奴仆当然是表示奴隶就是说一个服侍别人跟着了他的那个主人或者是做他主人叫他吩咐他做的一切的事情
I'm not talking about James Bond
他不是在说庞德那个电影
The famous character from Ian Fleming's movies starring Sean Connery and Roger Moore
他不是在那个讲那个庞德
you know?
007那个电影007那个电影里边那个罗杰莫尔和就是 Sean Connery 的这个
I'm talking about the James who's claiming simply to be God's
他讲这个雅各就号称他自己是属于神的
Belonging to him and then listen to this part demonstrating a lifetime commitment to Christ
他属于上属于神他也表现出一生的对基督的那个承诺
Commitment is one of those words which is thrown around loosely in this culture, in the American culture. 77% of the children in America live in broken families. That means they live with one parent. Divorce is rampant and we cannot stay committed. Now I'm going to add something here. This is one of the things I love about our church. Our statistics aren't anywhere near 77%, and I praise God for that.
这个承诺这个事在美国，在今天的美国变得越来越不严谨了。71%的小孩子是生活在一个破碎的家庭里边，他们跟其中一个父母生活在一起。那个离婚变得非常的猖獗，我们不能说我们有什么，我们能够承诺什么。感谢上帝，他说在我们这个教会里边，我们的离婚率远远低于这个全国的这个平均数。
We use the word commitment, but do we all live it? Do we call ourselves Christian and then lack the passion? And here's that part again. To demonstrate a lifetime commitment to Christ?
我们说我们有这个承诺，有委身，但是我们能活出来吗？我们把我们叫做自己叫做基督徒，但是我们能够有的时候我们是缺乏了像这个基督耶稣一生奉献的这样的一种热情，我们还能叫我们自己是基督徒吗
？Demonstrating means doing. It means showing others. It means being an example. And so here's a question for all of us. Are we being an example of Christ to our children? Are we demonstrating a life committed to Christ?
证明就 demonstrating 这个字证明意味着是做意味着是做给别人看做一个榜样那这样来说来的话我们能够确实是我们小孩子眼中的一个榜样吗？我们确实是能够证明说我们的一生是对基督的委身吗
？Interesting enough, in the first chapter of James, James is addressing Christians. That first part is an address to Christians, and he's addressing them as his brothers. In the King James, which is an old English translation, he refers in the text to the word brethren, which we would say brothers and sisters.
很有意思的是在这个雅各书的第一章他是写给一群基督徒他叫他们把他们称为弟兄们在这个King James 这个翻译本里面他叫做他的同胞们我们有的时候把他叫做弟兄姐妹
So in the Strong's Concordance which is a book where we find the words of scripture I found the word Adelphos which means brothernear or remote. It is derived from the word Delphus, which literally means the womb.
Okay, 在这个圣经术语，这个 Strong 圣经术语这本书里边，我发现一个字叫做 Adelphus， 就是说是弟兄的意思。 不管是远的弟兄近的弟兄啊，他是从一个另外一个叫 Delphus 这个字来的，这个字的意思就是打工。
For instance, this is what the Quakers did when they came to America. They elected to use the ancient city in Lydia named Philadelphia. We have one here. They chose to create a place using Greek origins. The Philos, or Philos, which means loving, and Adelphos, which means brother, it's the city, and you might have heard it, the city of brotherly love.
贵格派的这个基督徒，当他们来到美国的时候，他们就选择用一个古希腊的一个城的这个名字叫 Philadelphia， 就是费城。那么他们就在这个地方也开始创造了一个城市，那个城市就有这个原来这个希腊式的这个背景从这个原来那个Philadelphia来的那个 Phila 这个字的意思就是爱，那个 Adelphus就是指弟兄，所以这个城市费城这个城市的名字的意思就叫做弟兄之爱。
James is making as strong a connection to the audience as he possibly can. He's writing to his Jewish brothers. As we ponder this, how can we learn from this simple opening? We're still talking about James 1:1 here. This simple address to the group of people that lived so long ago.
在这里雅各书第一章第一节，他尽量的把自己和他的收信人联系在一起，那就是这些人就是他的这个犹太的弟兄们当我们在思想的时候，我们能够从一句简单的这个讲话，简单的那个这句话里边写给这个2000多年前的这帮人的这句简单的话里边能够学到什么呢？
So James is the Jewish nationwas crumbling. It was crumbling into parties and into factions, and many were forced to leave their own country because of the turmoil and the strife. Remember, brothers near and remote. Even good people among them shared in this common calamity.
这个犹太民族分散了很多的小分支和小派系那很多人必须要离开他们自己的家园，因为他们之间的混乱和争吵，甚至是很好的人也是避免不了其灾难。
These Jews of the dispersion were those who embraced the Christian faith. They were persecuted and they were forced to find shelter in other countries.
这是被分散在各地的基督犹太人呢，通常都是信仰耶稣基督的，有这个基督信仰的，他们被这个迫害，那么甚至到他们只好到外面的别的国家里边去寻找这个庇护。
Ironically, the Gentiles, the non-Christians, were kinder to Christians than their brothers were, their brother Jews. Their own family scorned them, beat them, and simply cut them off from the group.
让人难过的是，这些外邦人对这些犹太的基督徒倒是比他们自己对他们还好一些。他们自己的家庭的反而是藐视他们责打他们，甚至把他们直接从他们自己的组群里边给赶出去。
The Quakers understood this. They settled Philadelphia. They named it. They were one of the first to embrace the concept of abolishing slavery, not slavery to God, but slavery to man.
这是贵格派的基督徒呢，是理解这一点。他们在费城这上居住下来，他们把这个地方叫做 Philadelphia。他们是第一帮可以真正来拥抱这个废除奴隶制的这样的人这个奴隶说是对成为人的奴隶，而不是对神的奴隶，就是美国的这个黑奴的这个历史。
Can we have faith like that?Can we submit to the Lord who allows this to happen? Can we submit to the Lord no matter what happens in our lives?
我们能够有这样的信仰吗？我们能够让我们能够对神委身，尽管甚至这样的事情发生，我们也能对神委身吗？我们能够 对神委身不管我们发生什么事情吗？
Let me share a very personal story. We're told in Mark 4, verses 2 and 34, it says this. He taught them many things by parables or stories. And then later on, he says he didn't say anything to them without using a story.
那他想告诉我们他自己的那个故事。他首先在这里引用这个马可福音四章第二节和第三十四节这两节经文，让我们大家一起来读好不好？第二节，耶稣就用比喻教训他们许多道理，在教训之间对他们说，若不用比喻，就不对他们讲，没有人的时候，就把一切的道讲给门徒听。
I'm divorced. I didn't want to be divorced. My ex-wife and I struggled for years. We argued all the time. She never wanted to forgive me for the words I used early in our marriage. We said things we could not take back. We tried, and I tried, but at least she wouldn't let me.
我那个离婚过，我不想离婚。我以前的那个太太跟我那个两个争吵了很多年，我们老是争吵。她永远不会那个原谅我在我们刚结婚的时候讲的一些话。我们讲了一些话，但是呢，我们没办法再把它收回了。但是呢，至少是她不允许我把这些话收回。
We grew very distant from one another.
最后他们之间的关系越来越疏远。
For 3 years, I begged God to help us. I begged God to fix me if I needed fixing, and I begged God to fix her if she needed it too. I read the scriptures. I learned that God hates divorce. He allows it for certain conditions, but I honestly believe that God hates divorce.
有三年的时间我跟神祈求。我求上帝来改变我。那个我也求上帝来改变我的妻子，如果她需要的话。我阅读那个神的话，我知道上帝是很讨厌离婚。虽然他在一些情况下他允许，但是我知道上帝不喜悦离婚。
My prayer then turned to God. Please help us, and this was painful, release my wife to her own faculties, to her own ways, because I honestly couldn't take it anymore. The stress, the turmoil was just difficult.
我就跟那个祷告。求神来帮助我们，或者呢，当然这是一件非常痛苦的事情。说如果实在是没有办法的话，就随他，让他，他的他太太，让他去按照他自己的方法做事情吧。因为我实在是没办法忍受了，因为这之间的争吵之间的那个问题。
Because of the scriptures, because I put the scriptures before my own reasoning, I promised God that no matter what.No matter how hard, no matter how difficult it became, I was not going to leave my family. I would not abandon my children. I would not abandon my wife. You see, divorce is the easy way because it lacks commitment.
我就因为圣经的教导，我就跟神这样来保证。不管发生什么事情，不管怎么样，我都不会离开，我不会抛弃我的小孩子，也不会抛弃我的太太。你看，离婚是件简单的事情，因为这个不需要这个委身。
Eventually, my wife, she drifted into adultery. And here's the tough part. It was with the pastor who I served with.
最后我太太发生了婚外情。你看这是最难的地方，因为跟她发生婚外情的是她跟她一起那个她的牧师。
Come to find out later, after she left, She actually had four affairs. You see, when she was young, she was raped.
后来我发现，等她走了以后，才发现她总共有发生四次婚外情。在年轻的时候呢，她被人强暴过。
Eventually, I learned that many psychologists say that when a woman is raped or a girl is raped, it leads to promiscuousness. I now know that I was married to a broken vessel, a very hurt woman, a person living in real pain. But I was too young and stupid to realize what God gave me was very fragile, a jar of clay, like it says in the scriptures. Now, I'm not making any excuses for her. I personally was searching for clarity. I was wanting to understand, you know, how someone could do what she did to me. Because it never crossed my mind.
最后我从那个一些心理学家那里知道，如果是一个女的或者是年轻的时候，特别是碰到这样的事情的话，他们会产生一个思想里面的混乱，对这个男女关系方面。后来我当然我现在知道我是跟一个破碎的妓女在结婚，她是非常的脆弱，但是那个我真的是活在一个那个痛苦当中，当然我不是说要为她那个做一些什么这个找这个借口，我是想知道这些事情是为什么发生，我想知道这个为什么她做对我那样用那样的态度来对我。
Of course it hurt a lot. She finally ended it by packing up and she left Jill and I to go to Iowa to live with a man that she met just 1 month earlier on a business trip.
这是一件非常痛苦的事情。最后她就离开了，她那个收拾行李离开我和 Jill， 就是她的最小的女儿。他去了这个爱荷华和一个他刚刚一个月之前所在出差的时候是认识的一个男人生活在一起。
Now did God answer my prayer? He hates divorce. However, he also allows each and every one of us to do whatever he wants. Because what God really wants is he wants us to follow him no matter what. To be a bondservant. To be that slave that the scriptures talk about. And when we do whatever we want, and we do what we need to do to follow God, then we're living the life that God wants for us. We do have the choice to do whatever we want. It's in our hands in some ways.
那上帝有没有回答我的祷告呢？上帝讨厌离婚，但是呢他也让我们做我们想做的事情，那我们有这样的选择去做是不是讨人喜悦的事情。
Think about it. We could live like the people in the book of Judges. Now this is supposed to be Judges 2:17. I made an error hereso it might not be the right verse. I apologize for that. It reads this, "Yet they would not listen to their judges, but prostituted themselves to other gods and worshiped them. They quickly, guys, turned away from the ways of their ancestors, their family, their cousins, their brothers, their parents, who had been obedient to the Lord's commands."
因为这个当时人们有点做错，又没有打到那个上面去。所以我就给大家读这个四世纪第二章十七节，他们却不听从四世，竟随从叩拜别神，行了邪淫，速速地偏离他们立主所行的道，不如他们立主顺从耶和华的命令。所以他们很快的那个离开了他们的父母，他们的祖先，他们那种顺从那种谦卑那种跟从神的那样一种那个生那种方式。
Or as it states repeatedly throughout the book of Judges,For everyone did what they thought was right in their own eyes. Who's that sound like? Americans. We're a nation that does what they feel is right or what they feel is good. What is right, simply, in their own eyes.
所以在这个四世纪这本书里边一再的强调说每个人做事情他自己眼中看为正的事情。那就像什么呢？就像在美国，我们就现在这个国家，我们真是每个人都在做自己以为对的事情，就是在我们眼中看为正的事情。
Do we believe that the scriptures know more than us?
我们那个相信那个上帝的话语，那个比我们知道的更多吗？
This verse, even though it is so simple, this opening greeting to James, from James, seemingly unimportant, to me, contains so much truth for us today.
这雅各书的第一章第一节，虽然看起来很简单，看起来好像不是很重要，其实里面包含了许多许多的真理。
So where was the blessing with my wife leaving us? If you look for the blessing in the storms in your life, through the turmoil, you can find it. You see, in the state of Maryland, I discovered that in 95% of the cases, the mother has the custody of the child, which meant for me that the only time I would get to spend with Jill would have been the weekends. But I got the razor.
我在这个整个的混乱这个暴风雨当中，我看到神的那个祝福。据我所了解，在马里兰至少是，在父母两方面离婚的时候，95%的情况之下是母亲来抚养这个孩子。那对我来说，那就是我只有在周末的时候才能跟我的女儿在一起。但是我得到他抚养他的这样一个特权。
This would have meant not getting the privilege of being her dad every day. Yeah, I was without a wife, 8 years without a wife, but I still remained a full-time dad, and I was able to do my best to raise her in the ways of the Lord.
如果是那样的话，那也就是说我基本上没有成为这个没有可能成为这孩子父亲的特权，因为只有在周末才能跟他在一起。那现在呢，我虽然没有太太，我现在是8年的时间没有妻子，但是我是一个全时间的爸爸，我也按照神的方法来抚养这个孩子。
So let's continue through James, and we can see that the thrust of this entire letter calls upon us Christians to live more with moral urgency, serious holiness, and an unconditional, no matter what, obedience to not only God, but the Word of God, the Scriptures.
让我们再继续来看这个雅各书，让我们看到这个雅各书整封信，它这样给我们一种迫切性，让我们来真的是活做这个道德的紧迫，这个严肃的圣洁和无条件的对神的话语的顺服。
Please read James 1:2-8 with Fonwei.
我们一同来读这个雅各书的第一章的第一节到第八节，我们一同来读。做神和主耶稣基督仆人的雅各，请暂住在12个支派世人的安。OK， 我的弟兄们，我们落在百般试炼中，都要以为大喜乐，因为知道你们的信心经过试验，就生忍耐，但忍耐也当成功，使你们成全完备，毫无欠缺。你们中间若有缺少智慧的，应当求那后世与众人也不斥责人的神主就被赐给他。只要凭着信心求，一点不疑惑，因为那疑惑的就像海中的波浪，被风吹动翻腾。这样的人不要向君子那里得什么，心怀傲意的人，在他们一切所行的路上都没有定见。
This is a pretty high calling. and so valuable an attainment that we may consider even trials, the tough times. We're supposed to enjoy them? We're supposed to find pure pleasure? Can we really as Christians believe in God so much that we can see through those tough times the joy of God?
这个确实是个很高的一个呼召，是一个有价值的一个目标。那我们可以考虑，那我们真的是能够在各种苦难当中有喜乐吗？那我们作为一个基督徒，真的是在这些困难、这些试验当中，是否能够有喜乐吗？
It is the journey of life we should enjoy, not necessarily the results. We need to remember that life should be lived for process goals, not product goals, and I'll explain that in a minute.
这个是这样的过程，我们应当来享受，不一定当然不一定是结果。我们应该记住，在我们的生活当中，应当是过程目标，而不是结果的目标，结果为目标。
A process goal is one that strives to change you, not the circumstances you're in. The circumstances will probably end up changing you, however, that is not the goal of a process goal.
这个process goal也就是这个过程目标，也就是说在这个过程当中你努力奋斗，但是呢，最后改变的是你，不是这个你的生活的环境。
The goal is to do your best, not necessarily be the best. See, I love process goals because all throughout my life, I always tried to be the best. I always had product goals. The best soccer player, the best chess player, the best distance runner, the best artist, and many, many others.
这个目标就是要对你来说是最好，当然不一定是最好，不一定就是最好。我喜欢这样一个过程目标，因为这个在我的过程当中呢，我在我的一生当中呢，我总是希望成为最好。我希望成为最好的这个足球踢足球的，我也希望成为最好的这个橡皮选手，我也想成为最好的这个长跑选手，或者成为最好的艺术家，或者很多其他东西。
I discovered that when I try my best, I don't have to worry about being the best. There's only one number one. And when I try my best, here's the best part, I can never fail. With this mindset, I'm always achieving my goal, which is simply to improve myself, to become a better bondservant to Christ, a slave. Yes, this life is about competition, don't get me wrong. But in the big picture, what does all this competition really get us?
我尽我的努力，但是不去担心那个结果的时候，我就再也不会失败了。如果带着这样的心态的话呢，我每次都能达到自己的目标，也就是说要来改变我自己，使我成为一个更好的一个神的这样一个奴仆仆仆人。当然，那个生活是包含了很多的这个竞争，但是竞争对我们又带来什么呢？
What it gets us? Things. Material things. There's an old American saying, maybe some of you have heard it. It says, he who dies with the most toys wins.
那竞争给我们带来的是东西，是这个物质的东西。有一句美国老话说，谁在死的时候有最多的玩具呢，就赢。但是我更喜欢说 那个谁在此的得知到最多玩具的人啊、仍然要。
Sometimes it's referred to as the rat race because all we're doing is running the maze.
比如说我们就是在那走来走去，在迷宫里面走来走去走不出来。
I prefer this. He who dies with the most toys still dies.
我刚才前面讲过了，他更喜欢这句话，那些最有最多死的时候有最多玩具的人还是要。
The goal is to do your best, not necessarily be the best.
所以目标就是要尽你的努力，但不一定能达到最好。
You see, I never met a dying man who said, I wish I spent more time at the office.
我从来没碰到一个快死的人，还希望他在办公室里多待一点时间。
The next verses are strong and sincere words from James. He tells Christians, remember, the opening, he's talking to his brethren, his brothers, that they will, you will, we will face adversity. We will do it. We are going to face conflict. And we, hopefully, in the name of Christ, will face persecution, a persecution that knows that Christ is in charge.
就下面的句话是比较强的啊，他说啊，基督徒，他写信给的是基督徒，说我们一定会遇到困难，我们一定会遇见冲突啊。当然，如果上帝允许，那我们也可能会遇到迫害。
See, Christians, we have to endure, as translated in Young's version.We have to persevere in other versions, including the NIV and the Message, but the King James translates it this way, and I love this, patience.
这个忍耐，这个基督徒应该来忍耐。那在另外一个翻译当中说是不屈不挠。当然在 King James, NIV 或者是 King James,在听见和在 NIV 和 Message 那个这个翻译里面叫做不屈不挠，那么在听见这个翻译里面叫做耐心，他说他很喜欢这个 patience 耐心这个词。
Now patience in the Greek it has such a deeper meaning than we translate. When it's translated, it means bearing endurance without complaining.
这个耐心这个字在希腊文里面比我们所翻译出来的更深的意思。如果把它直接翻译出来，就是说要忍耐但是也没有抱怨，在忍耐当中没有抱怨。
Patience also is a quality of being content in suffering, endurance, to endure, to suffer.And there's a great little funny connection at the end of the dictionary definition that jumped off the page at me. In parentheses, it says, see passion.
Okay, 他说这个耐心这个词有一种一种人在这个困难当中就是忍耐去受苦他说在这个passion 这个翻译本里面他在翻译这个翻译本里面，最后有一个很有意思的一个连接，那个地方说去看那个 passion 就是热情这个字，看那个字的跟那个字连在一起。
It is a state of passion. Patience is a state of passion. It's a passionate patience. It's a passionate faith. It's a faith where we seek nothing else.But the divine face of our Lord Jesus Christ.
So, this 耐心这个字里边一种热情，一种热心的那个激情去忍耐一种热情的这种信心，这种信心是要成为要寻找耶稣基督那个圣洁的面前。
We're to present ourselves to Him as an offering, a love offering, and in the winds of this world and the waves of the winds.We find him. We endure. We connect and stay connected no matter what comes our way.
在我们是把自己作为一个奉献，作为一个爱心奉献，在这个世界这个风浪之中，在这个世界的各种各样的那个风暴当中，我们忍耐，我们连在一起，我们仍然是连在一起，不管发生什么事情。
We need to bask in the process, goals, in the process of becoming a Christian. We need to soak it up. We need to also stand firm in our faith. We have a faith that endures forever. And this kind of faith is what God wants. I truly believe that nothing teaches better than stories. I'm going to share another one in a minute.
Okay, 他说我们要在沉浸在这样一个过程当中，要在这个过程当中能够站立住，我们有这样一个信心，那个这样一个信心能够帮助我们能够坚持到最后，另外他说，我相信这个最好的教导办法是通过讲故事的办法。
Remember Mark 4, Jesus explained things in stories, and the scriptures speak incredibly loud to me because of that. And so I'm going to close with a story, and if time allows, I'll have a second one.
在那个马可福音第四章里面，耶稣是用讲故事的方式来做教导。所以这对基督徒来讲，这个是印象的非常的深刻。所以我现在也通过讲故事，如果有时间的话，我会给你讲两个。
So listen to this story about a courageous young little boy.
我想讲一个非常勇敢的小孩子。
There's a family that was experiencing a small tragedy. One of their two sons acquired an illness that was going to require a bone marrow transplant. And of course, the medical personnel had all the family members tested, which is pretty painful. And he wanted to see which one, if any, had the proper blood type.
有一个家庭，他们经历一个像不大不小的一个灾难，他们两个孩子当中有一个小的变得非常的病得很厉害，他需要一个这个骨髓移植，所以呢，那个医务人员呢，就是检查了每一个家庭里边成员的那个血的样品，看看谁的血的样品最跟这个病人最符合。
It turned out that the older brother of the sick boy.Was a perfect match. And so the father sat the older brother down and told him what they needed to do in the simplest terms he could for a young child.
最后发现这个小孩子的这个哥哥也是个小男孩，他的这个血样最符合这个弟弟，所以这个父亲呢就把这个小孩子叫到旁边，想办法用最简单他能听得懂的话跟他解释。
So the father told him that his little brother was sick and that he needed to show his little brother how much he loved him by having the surgery.
他告诉这个哥哥说这个弟弟病得非常的厉害，他需要跟这个通过做一个小的手术来表达他对弟弟的爱是多么的深。
He explained to him that the doctors needed to take a little piece of him and put it in his brother's body so that his little brother wouldn't die. And so the young boy thought for a couple seconds, and then he said, I'll do it.
所以他跟这个哥哥讲，他说这个医生跟他讲，需要从他身上拿出一小块，放在这个弟弟的身上，也就是这个弟弟呢不会死掉。所以这个哥哥呢，就想了一会儿，就说他可以。
So the older brother went through the surgery. It was a success.And the little brother was recovering quickly. And after the relief and the joy had passed over, the family was just sitting around relaxing, and he noticed that the older son was looking down and looking very depressed.
So this, 哥哥呢也做了小手术，然后呢，这个整个都是非常的成功。这个小弟弟呢，他复原的非常的快，所以整个的家庭都非常的高兴。他们就坐在那边觉得很。放松，所以这个突然这个爸爸就发现这个大点的小孩心里边看上去脸是很沉重，心里好像很难过。
So he took his son to the side, And he asked him, he said, why aren't you happy? You know, your little brother's getting better. We're all glad that he's getting better. What's wrong?
So this 爸爸就把这个小孩就带到旁边就问他说你为什么不高兴呢？这个你的弟弟已经好，已经在变得好了。那个这个小孩子说他也是非常的高兴，他的小孩他的弟弟变得好了。
So the father asked him again, son, why are you so sad? And after a long pause, the little boy said, well, dad, when is it time for me to die?
所以这个爸爸就问这个小孩子说，你为什么那么难过呢？那小孩子停顿了好一会儿，然后说，那我什么时候死呢？
That's when the father realized,What his son had on his mind. The older brother believed in his whole heart of hearts that he had to literally give up his life so that his little brother, who he loved, could live.
So his father 父亲后来才发现说，这个才是真正他这个孩子所在他心里所理解的。他真的以为说他必须要把他自己的生命给他弟弟，他的弟弟才能活。
Here's another short story. It's called Tell Them.
另外一个故事叫做告诉他们。
Some 14 years ago, a professor stood watching his university students file into the classroom for the opening session in the theology of faith.
差不多14年以前，有一个教授站在那个大学的一个教室里边，看到那些他的学生们。
That day was the first day I saw Tommy. He was combing his hair, which hung 6 inches over his shoulder, and my quick judgment wrote him off as strange, very strange.
那是第一天，我看到了 Tommy， 他把头发扎成一个马尾巴，那个六个英寸，比那个肩膀低了六个英寸，我很快就把它看成是个异类，一个真正是一个异类。
Tommy turned out to be his biggest challenge. Tommy constantly objected and smirked at the possibility of an unconditional loving God. When he turned in his final exam at the end of the course, he asked in a slightly cynical tone, "Do you think I'll ever find God?" And I said, "No."
汤米后来成为我真正的上课当中的挑战者。他对每一次跟我讲这个上帝的那个无条件的爱的时候，他都是很反对，有的时候他很讥笑这种可能性。那上帝怎么会这么无条件的爱呢？所以最后他把他的那个最后的那个考试交上来的时候，他跟我讲，他带着一种嘲讽的口气来跟我讲。你认为我会真的会找到上帝吗？我说不会。
A little surprised, he said, "Oh, well, I thought that was the product you were pushing and trying to sell me."
他说哦，那不是你一直设法要推广、要推出的产品吗？要卖给我的吗
？So I let him get about 5 steps from the door.And then I called out, I said, hey, I don't think you're going to ever find him, but I'm pretty certain he's going to find you. And Tommy kind of shrugged his shoulders and left. And I felt a little disappointed that he kind of missed the point of that clever line.
Yeah, 我就让他走了差不多五步，走到那个教室的门那里。那我就跟他说，我不认为你会发现他。但是呢，我认为我真的是认为他会找到你。那他们就捅一捅肩，那我当然觉得有点很失望，因为他好像没有抓住我这样一个很积极的那个应答。
Later, the professor heard that Tommy had graduated, and was pretty thankful for that. And then came the sad report: Tommy had terminal cancer. And before I could search him out, he came to me.
后来那个我听说汤米已经毕业了，我当然很高兴。 但是后来又来了一个更遭痛苦的那个消息，那个汤米有这个这个癌症。
When he,
但是在我还没有找到他的时候，他就来找我。
When he walked into the professor's office, his body was wasted. You could see the turmoil the cancer took, and his long hair fell out because of the chemotherapy. But what was interesting, his eyes were bright, and for one of the first times, I heard a firm and passionate voice.
当他走进我的办公室的时候，我就看到他的身体实在是衰弱得很厉害，他的长头发也都因为这个化疗都掉了，但是他的眼睛里边还闪着光。在第一次我听到他声音讲话的声音里边充满了热情和坚定。
I said, Tommy, it's so good to see you. I've thought of you so often, and I heard that you were sick.
我脱口而出 ，Tommy， 我很想你，我最近一直在想着你。我听说你病得很厉害。
And he said, Oh.Pretty sick, Professor. I have cancer. And it's a matter of weeks now.
他说病得非常的厉害。教授啊，我有这个癌症，也就是几个礼拜了。
So I asked him, can you talk about it?
我说你可以讲吗？
He said, sure, what would you like to know?
他说当然，你想知道什么呢？
So what's it like to be 24 years old,and know that you're going to die in a couple weeks.
我说我想知道你虽然只有24岁，但是过几个礼拜就要死了，你是怎么样的感受？
He said it could be worse. He said I could be like 50 and thinking about nothing but drinking booze, seducing women, making money, buying lots of things, boats, cars, you know, the really biggies in life.
当然可能还会更糟糕的，更糟糕的是，如果假设我已经50岁了，但是我还以为觉得这个喝酒，追女人和这个挣钱，买一些生活里边的一些奢侈品，那个车子啊什么之类，当做我生命当中最大的那个事情，那就更糟糕了。
Then he told me why he came.
那他让我告诉我来告诉他为什么到我这里来。
He said, Professor.It was something you said to me on the last day of class, and I asked you if you thought I would ever find God, and you surprised me. You said no, but I'm certain He will find you.
我为什么来？因为我当时你讲的最后上课那次讲的一句话，使我觉得很有意思。那个时候我问你说我可以不可以找到上帝，你让我很惊讶，你说不会。
And I thought about that a lot. I mean, even though my search for God wasn't really intense at the time, but when the doctors removed the lump from my groin and told me that it was malignant, I got pretty serious about trying to locate God.
我那个时候想了不少，但是虽然那个时候我并没有很认真的来寻求上帝，但是当那个医生从我的腹部拿出一个那个肿块出来，告诉我这是恶性的，那我就真的是对神有很认真的来想到神的事情。
And when the malignancy spread to my vital organs, I really began banging against the bronze doors of heaven, Professor, but nothing happened. And well, one day I woke up, and instead of desperately trying in all attempts to find God or seek some kind of message, I just quit.
那当这个恶性肿瘤侵蚀到我很重要的器官的时候，我真的是那个好像是在那个天堂的门口大声的拍着那个天上的铜门，把铜门拍得咣咣的响，可是呢什么都没有发生。那有一天当我早上起来，本来是要那个很绝望的要想找到上帝，就给我一些特别的信息，我就后来就放弃了。
So I decided I really didn't care about God. I didn't care about an afterlife or anything like that. I decided to spend my time left doing what something a lot more important, at least to me.
那所以我就决定说，我真的不对上帝没有兴趣了。 我也不管什么叫做这个死后的生命啊、不管那样的事情呢，我对他没有兴趣，所以我就决定说我在我余生的时间里边做一些很重要的事情，特别对我个人来说重要的事情。
So he told the professor, I thought about something you said earlier. In an earlier lecture, you said the essential sadness is to go through a life without loving. But it would be almost equally sad to leave this world without ever telling those you loved that you loved them. So I began with the hardest person in my life, my dad.
我想到你在上课的时候跟我们讲的一句话，你讲一个人啊，一个极深的一个痛苦，就是说啊，你度过了一生，但是从来没有爱过啊。但是同样差不多一样痛苦的事情是说，你啊，在你离开世界之前，你没有告诉那些你曾经爱过的人你爱他们。那所以我就开始从我最难的一个目标开始，那就是我的爸爸。
Tommy's father had been reading the newspaper when his son approached him.
所以他的爸爸那个时候在读读报纸，当这个儿子走进他的时候。
Said, Dad, I really would like to talk to you.
他说，爸爸，我想跟你讲话。
We'll talk.
他说讲吧。
Dad, I mean, it's really important.
他说，我真的认为，我这是很重要的。
And so then the newspaper came down about 3 inches.
这样，爸爸把这个报纸就往下挪了两三寸。
And the father said, "What is it?"
什么事情？
And Tommy looked him in the eye and he says, "Dad, I love you. I just wanted you to know that."
所以他跟他爸爸，爸爸，我爱你，我就是想让你知道。
And so Tommy smiled because the newspaper just fluttered to the floor, and the father stood up, and the father did two things that he could not remember him doing before. Number one, he cried, and number two, he hugged him. And then they talked all night, and even though his father had to go to work in the morning, he went to work with no sleep.
So, 那个 Tommy 就笑了，当他想到这件事情，他就笑起来了。他说，他就看到这个报纸一下飘落到地上，他的父亲就站起来做了两件事情。第一，他以前不记得，他父亲曾经做过。第一个就是他父亲哭了，第二个就是他父亲就是给他一个拥抱，然后他们讲了整整的一夜。真的，尽管他父亲第二天就要上班。
It was a lot easier with my mother and my little brother, Tommy said. He said they cried with me.And then we hugged one another, and then the coolest thing, we shared the things that we have been keeping secret from one another for so long.
他说对我的妈妈和对我小弟弟来说，那就简单多了。他说他们和我一起哭，和我们一起拥抱。那更有意思的是，我们那个分享了很多我们曾经都是从来没有分享过的事情。
Here I was, facing the shadow of death.And I was just, for the first time, beginning to open up to the people I'd actually been close to.
他说那个时候我在死亡的阴影当中，但是呢，我是真是第一次啊，对我那些跟我很近的那些人，跟他们那个开心开放和他们一起。讲话。
And then Tom said, and then one day I turned around and there God was.He didn't come to me when I pleaded for him. You know, apparently, Professor, he does what he wants to do in his own way and in his own time. And the important thing is you're right. He found me, even after I stopped looking for him.
他说很有意思，有一天那个我转过身来，发现上帝就在那里。他没有在我想要找他的时候来出现。但是当然他有他自己做事情的方式，那最重要的事情是说你讲的是对的，他最后找到我，尽管我那个时候我已经不再寻找他了。
Tommy, I said, could I ask you to do me a favor? Would you come to the Theology of Faith course? You remember that one. And tell my students what you told me.
Tommy， 我说，你能不能给我帮我一件事情？你能不能把你刚才讲的那些故事告诉我现在的这个那个信仰神学的这些学生
？So even though we scheduled a date, Tommy never made it. Of course, his life was not really ended by his death; simply changed. He made the great step from faith into vision.
当然他后来虽然我们那个定了一个日子，但是他没有等到那一天。当然，就是他的生命没有在他死去的时候就结束，就了结，只是发生了改变。他走了很大的一步，从信仰到这个叫 vision。
He found a life far more beautiful than the eye of humanity has ever seen or even imagined. And before he died, we ended up talking one more time on the phone. And he said, "Because Professor, I'm not going to make it to your class." And I said, "I know, Tommy."
他最后找到了生活当中最美好的，就是超越我们所能想象的。在他死之前，我们有最后一次在通了电话，他跟我说教授，我没办法，没办法来了。我说我知道。
Then he said these wonderful words. He said, "Professor," he goes, "Will you tell them for me?"Will you go and tell the whole world for me?" And the professor responded, "I'll tell him, Tommy."
他说你能不能告诉他们，你能不能告诉全世界的人？然后我跟汤米说，我会告诉他们。
Will we then tell them?Will we pursue Christ with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength? Will we work on our relationships and not on the paycheck? Will we let those around us, those loved ones that we know and love, let them know that we know and love them?And will we love those, as the scriptures teach us, who are less fortunate?
那我们会告诉他们吗？我们会真的是用我们全心全性全意全尽心尽性尽心尽力的来追寻那个主耶稣基督吗？我那个能让他们知道那个我爱他们吗？
Let's pray.Our Father and our God, fill our souls with your love. Help us to grow. Help us to be the kind of Christians, the kind of slaves to you, the kind that is desperately seeking the commitment that you expect from us. Father, help us to reach out to those that love us. Help us to reach out to those that are less fortunate. And Father, I pray,that your Holy Spirit come and help heal this church, help heal our hearts, help heal any relationships in this church. Let people reach out to one another. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.